All right. Thank you so much for everyone for being on our training call today. We're going to breeze right through this one. But this is probably one of my favorite training calls to do because this is how I built my business here. This call is about how to work a networking event. So let's just go through the bullet points. But I want to say real quick, I really, really, really just encourage everyone, if you can, to just please get out to a networking event, maybe even just once a month. I know we do give out leads here, and that's a great thing. It's a great thing to cut your teeth with, but just, you know, be aware that those leads that we buy, other companies buy too. Even some of the lenders we work with buy. So we're competing against our own lenders in certain circumstances, not always, but in certain circumstances. Again, it's not a bad idea to cut your teeth with some of these leads just to get some experience. We certainly do close a decent amount of the leads that we do buy, but I'm telling you, if you want a loyal borrower, you want to build a relationship with someone, you want a long-term prosperous relationship, plus obviously you make more on self-originated leads because there's no payout to the lead source, you got to go and originate your own deals. So the way to do it, there's many ways to do it, but what this training is focused on is how to work a networking event. So bullet point number one, how do you find these events? The way I found them was I found a website called meetup.com. And if you go on meetup.com, you can create a free account and you can literally search for real estate investor events. That's all I typed in. Wasn't anything tricky. Real estate investor networking events, and tons of them would come up every single month in my Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. And I just started hitting them, going, seeing which ones worked, which ones didn't. I could tell you a lot of these events I end up going to, I was the only finance person there. You know, there was no one else there. And all of these people that are there are literally talking about deals, buying and selling. They're trying to do deals with each other. You know, all of them need financing. When you walk into a room like that where there's 100 real estate investors and you're one of the only finance people there, you're literally like a celebrity. And I know that sounds corny, but you are. These people all need financing to some extent. Eventually, someone's always going to run out of cash. It doesn't matter how big and bad they are when you meet them. If they operate in cash, they will eventually run out of cash. You know, none of us are Donald Trump. So eventually, at some point, they will need financing. So that's how I really started hitting the major events around me in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area. I also did, you know, search for, like, Chamber of Commerce events, you know, young professional networking events in my area, stuff like that. And those events were great to meet other professionals, you know, other accountants, lawyers, realtors, commercial real estate brokers, other mortgage brokers. Those were really the people I met, like the Chamber of Commerce events, so it wasn't direct borrowers, although sometimes builders would come to some of the Chamber and Commerce events because they kind of wanted, sometimes there's government officials that go to those events, so they, you know, wanted to get in with them since they're building and need permits and stuff. So sometimes they would actually meet borrowers at those events, but those were not the target of those events. They really were just to kind of meet other local business people in the area. And I could tell you probably, you know, there were some accountants and some lawyers I ended up getting referrals from because a lot of times when people do need financing, they do go to their accountant or their lawyer. And if you know, a lot of times their accountant or lawyer will have a banking relationship, so they send them there. And if it doesn't work out from there, they're not sure what to do. So what, you know, I started getting roped into those things. So I don't think it's bad to go to your local Chamber of Commerce events just to meet local professionals. But you definitely just want, you know, I mean, you really want to target direct borrowers. Let's go right to the source. And that's the meetup events. There's like some DIG events around here. It's called DIG. I'm not sure if they're nationwide, but I'm pretty sure they are. DIG is a real estate investor group with other real estate investors. And again, they're all trying to do deals. But meetup.com really has all of them listed there. And you want to go on there and create an account. What to bring when you go to a networking event. So just every Monday, every day, we actually update our product sheet when lenders tell us this in our program's changing, that's in our program's changing. We're in constant contact with them. So every Monday, though, we send out an updated product sheet to everyone, the whole entire team, via the loans email. just please print the most updated one out. It's always dated on the very, very top for that Monday, so you know what is the most updated one. Just print one copy of that out. Bring that with you and bring your business cards. That's all you need to bring. I understand the product sheet is very long. It is. But we work with a lot of lenders, and we are trying to give people a very good overview of all the programs that we have access to. And that is much easier said than done when you work with as many lenders as we do. So the product sheet is very long, but anyone that is any real estate investor that is experienced in that in this business, in real estate, that thing is gold to them. It is gold. It took years to put together. It's still a constant work in process, obviously, because lenders change their programs. It's gold. You got to just bring one copy with you. Again, it's sectioned up into sections. So it starts with permanent financing, bank loans, bank-type loans, because not all those lenders are actually brick-and-mortar banks, but they operate like that. So it's bank-type loans. Then you have your permanent bank alternate financing, which is lenders that do permanent financing but are not banks. So you'll see the interest rates are higher, but they do things that banks don't do. They allow cash out. They pay off IRS issues. They pay off tax liens. They have lower FICO requirements. They do some things that banks don't do, and we actually have a training call about why your borrower is not bankable. So go listen to that one, but that's the bank alternate section. It's still permanent. It's in the permanent category. Then it goes down to temporary financing, where you'll see we have a combination of our rehab and bridge lenders, because a lot of our bridge lenders that do just, quick short-term loans also do extend rehab financing. Some of them don't, and that is notated on the product sheet. And then you have your ground-up construction lenders. All of our bridge, rehab, and ground-up construction lenders are temporary financing lenders that we have here. So that's why they're in the temporary financing section. But just print out one version of the product sheet. You can pass it around. If people want a copy, get their business card. That's how you get their contact information. Just, name, email, phone number is right on there. You can enter them into the CRM under you, but just shoot a copy out to them. What you want to do is as you're collecting people's business cards who would like a copy, you can send them, again, our company information email with the attached product sheet, the most current one, which we send out every Monday. So what I used to do is I would go to a networking event. I would hit a networking event that had like 50 real estate investors. I would grab 50 cards. I introduced myself to every single person at a networking event. I worked the room. I did not just sit there and just to socialize with one person. I never did that. I worked the room. I introduced myself nicely to every single person. It wasn't a hardcore sales thing. It was just, hey, my name's Megan. I'm the finance person in the area. My company does all different types of commercial real estate loans. We do loans for 1 to 4 unit investment properties. Again, rehab, bridge, ground construction, and permanent financing. And we also do all that as well for pure commercial property types. 5-plus units, self-storage, retail, strip center, all commercial property types, they get the idea. So it was just that quick pitch. If you ever need anything, please let me know. I just need to get some intake information from you, and I can get you a direct lender quote to see if one of our lenders would be a good fit. What I always did was, as I started learning the industry, I started identifying key things that people would tell me and say where I knew that they weren't bankable. And we have a training on why your borrower is not bankable, so take that one. But a lot of people would literally come up to me at some of these events and just say, hey, my bank just turned me down. Kind of at a loss here. What can you do to help me? And you'll hear that from people. A lot of people sometimes at these events rant and rave about how horrible their bank is. So you might, get in, into some conversations like that. And that's common. But, you're going to start hearing keywords that people are telling you. They want cash out. They want to close quick. Their FICO is not where it needs to be. They're not filing taxes for whatever reason, or the bank is underwriting off their taxes, which all banks do, and they're a business owner. So they're not claiming all their income, or they're claiming losses on their tax returns, which, basically shows that they have less income. It doesn't work for the bank. So What I can tell everyone here is when you get asked certain questions like this at these events, when you're passing out the product sheet, you're getting business cards from people so you can send them a copy of the company information email on the product sheet. Just let them know our lenders that we work with here really underwrite off the property. Now they are still going to check the main owner of the company's credit. They're always going to do that because they want to know who they're dealing with, and they do typically want you to have decent credit, 620 or higher, but 620 is not a score that is unreachable. If somebody has credit under 620, something is going on. You know, maybe they have an IRS lien, a tax issue, they're not paying a mortgage, like something is going on. But, you know, really, the point is that, you know, you can hear certain things from people, and you should know, these should be keywords for you so that you can understand that, hey, this is a person that really should be in my wheelhouse or someone that shouldn't. So if you go to the networking event and you don't have business cards, don't worry. I have gone to so many networking events where I did not have business cards. Either I didn't want to pay for them or I ran out of them because I passed out too many. No big deal. Turn the product sheet over. Let people just write their name and their email and their phone number, and they'll just start filling it out. And actually, as a tidbit, I've been to so many networking events. But I've been to networking events where literally I just, like, brought a clipboard and put, like, a name, email, phone number and passed it around, and people just started filling it out. So there's a lot of ways to get people's contact information. When you email them the next day to follow up with them, just reference the event that you met them at, and it's, you know, a more friendlier email for them. So bullet point number three, the goal of these events, we kind of just went over that. It is to get people's contact information. It is to educate people on what type of loans they qualify for, and you're going to have to listen to the training to learn that. But there's a lot of just a lot of simple things you can educate people on. And again, if you're not sure, shoot an email to the loans email. We can get back to you quickly. Another purpose of these events is obviously to originate commercial loans. And the way you're really just doing that is just introducing yourself to people. It is not a hardcore sale at all. This isn't a business where you can hardcore sell someone. We're not selling a vacuum or a blender or anything that someone can just decide to buy and they really don't need. Someone has to have a need for a loan. If they don't have a need for a loan, that is not someone you should be spending time with at an event. Get their information, you know, get their card, let them know you follow up with them, but you do not need to be sitting in a corner speaking to someone for 30 minutes who does not need a loan just to get to know someone. That is not what you're here for at these events. It's to make connections. It's to originate deals. It's to educate people. It's to let them know the products that you offer with our product sheet, and just let them know, again, we are a mortgage brokerage company. We work with over 100 different commercial lenders. If you are having a problem with your current lender, please let us know the problem. We can probably solve it with another one we have in our wheelhouse. You know, if someone does not have a problem with their current lender, they are not a lead for us. We are in the business of solving problems. If someone does not have a problem, they are not a lead source for you. Move on to the next person. I just want everyone to understand that, because I see sometimes reps submitting intake forms and this person has a perfect relationship with their current lender, and I'm sitting here wondering, well, then why do they need us? We have to. Why would you pay an extra fee if someone's not solving your problem? But just so you know, people have so many problems they need solved on a common basis. So, again, those are our clients. It's not the people that don't have a problem. So bullet point number four, just how you do follow-ups after event. We actually kind of already went over that. You're just literally going to, if you want to mass email everyone, you can. Go ahead, just BCC them. Don't CC people where they can see all the email addresses. Don't do that. People don't like to be CC'd on an email. BCC everyone. You can write dear colleague or you know, it was nice to meet you at the event last night and reference the event. Or you can send individual emails. I used to send individual emails when I would follow up with people after events. It was very time consuming, but I used to do that. But if you want to just BCC everyone and you know, send out a copy of the product sheet and the company information email, especially if they signed, you know, say they filled out the back of it and they wanted you to email them a copy. People aren't going to be offended that you send it out to a mass amount of people because they signed up to have a copy sent to them. So you just, after the event, and you want to follow up with people, you know, definitely within 48 hours. If you can follow up with them sooner than that, that's great, but definitely 48 hours. If you start pushing 48 hours, it's, people are going to forget because they're on to the next event, on to the next event. I mean, I hit up like 3-4 events sometimes in 1 week. When I used to go to networking events and stuff to build my business. So if you didn't email me fairly quickly, I was already on to the next event. I forgot where I met you. Bullet point number 5, how do you explain what we do? Well, we do have our company information email, which explains perfectly what we do. But to just break it down really quickly, we are a brokerage company. We do commercial loan only, commercial and investment loans. We do loans on 1-4 unit investment properties. We can't do loans on 1-4 unit owner-occupied properties because those are residential loans, and you would have to be a licensed residential mortgage broker, and we're not resi, we're commercial. But we do loans also on pure commercial property types, like I explained earlier, and we do all different kinds of commercial loans. So the spaces you have in commercial financing are permanent financing, and it's either just a permanent financing loan on one property, or it could be a blanket loan on multiple properties. Typically, it's just for 1-4 units. Or in your temporary financing world, you have rehab, bridge, and ground-up construction. So we do all that for 1-4 unit investment properties and for pure commercial properties, and that's what we do. Our clients have a problem with their current lender or with just something that's going on. A lot of times, borrowers will try to go get a residential loan, possibly, on a 1-4 unit, and they won't qualify for whatever reason. Maybe they don't have the tax returns to qualify, the documented income on the tax returns, or the property is non-warrantable, which just means it doesn't qualify for a residential loan. There's always some type of reason. You have to start catching on to these keywords, and when you hear them, you have to educate the borrower and let them know, you're not going to qualify for a residential loan. Eventually, you max out, just so you know, residential loans. You can only have so many of them. And then you need to start switching to commercial. There is no really limit in commercial on how many loans you have. There might be a limit on how many loans you could have with one lender. But again, we work with 100 lenders. So if you get maxed out with that lender, we'll just move you to another lender. So that's really what we do. But to add to that, we are a full quarterbacking service. So we're not just a brokerage company that just shoves you to a lender and says, good luck, hope you two work it out. We stay involved in the transaction with processing documents, all that. We really know how all of our lenders want to see documents, and we instruct the borrower to get them to us properly so we can get the loan closed. We deal with the title company. We get all the documents for them on behalf of the borrower. We deal with the insurance company. We get everything from them. We deal with the lawyers. We deal with the realtors. We deal with all the third parties involved so the borrower doesn't have to. If a borrower is not working with a mortgage broker, they have to deal with all these third-party people. And that is very time-consuming, and it's a full-time job. So if you have another job, like you're a real estate investor or you have a day job, good luck because it's very time-consuming. So that is what we do. That would go over bullet point number 5. 6. What if someone asks me a question at an event and I don't know the answer? If you don't know the answer, just let them know. You know, I'm not sure about that, but I'm going to check with someone and I'll get back to you. But just let them know. It's okay if you don't know something. What I can tell you in this business, you don't know something, that's very common. People sometimes will ask you very specific lending questions, like, what does my interest rate adjust to after the fixed period? Well, that's a different answer with every 100 different lenders we work with. It's not an answer you can just give to someone because it's different with all different types of lenders. A lot of people also ask you just very simple questions like, well, what's your interest rate? Or how many points do you charge? Just simple stuff like that. And that's not, you need to respond and say, well, that depends what type of deal you have, first of all, because there's different points associated with different deals. There's also different points associated with how many options we know someone has in the marketplace. If they have minimal options, as a broker, that's when you have to charge them more because they don't have many options and you were able to place the file. Asking us what our interest rate is a very naive question because they were not listening to the fact that you work with over 100 different lenders. So all of them have different interest rates. Now, if you want to see the average interest rates of our permanent financing lenders, of our bridge lenders, of our rehab lenders, of our ground-up lenders, look at the product sheet. That is what the product sheet is for. The product sheet can answer 99% of the questions people ask you out there. I'm going to say that again. The product sheet can answer 99% of the questions people out there ask you. And that is why we designed it. And that is why we take time every week to update it. So when people are asking you questions about interest rate, fixed period, this, that, product sheet, product sheet, product sheet, that's what you need to send them. If someone does not know how to navigate the product sheet, that is because they are inexperienced in the business. They have not been a real estate investor for a long time. That's okay. That is okay. Again, we're here to educate. We work with all different types of real estate investors, from very new real estate investors to people that have been in the business for 30 years, but sometimes they've never borrowed money. So walking through the money process is a shock to them. It is a shock, and they need someone to walk them through the process. So it's not a big deal. But just please, when people are asking you questions, I'm telling you the product sheet can answer 99% of the questions that people are asking you. So let's go on to the next bullet point. What if someone asks me a question? Okay, we already did that. Again, product sheet, sorry. Number 7, what marketing materials can I hand out at events? This is a good one. I know we kind of already went over that, but a lot of people email in and ask us this. First of all, any of the marketing materials we send out every single week to everyone, you can certainly hand them if you want. We send them, we e-blast them out to all the bars in our database. So anything we're sending out in a mass email is not proprietary. You can certainly give that to anyone. But again, sorry to repeat myself, the best thing you really want to give people at an event, you don't want to give them. They can look at a copy of the product sheet. You're not going to print out 40 copies of that. You would be killing way too many trees and wasting a lot of paper. You're going to print out one copy of it and you're going to bring it with you. People are more than welcome to look at it, but if they would like a copy emailed to them, which if they understand the value of it, they are going to want a copy emailed to them in a second. They can give you their contact information. And that's what you're going to email them. So that's really the only marketing materials you're going to let people access at an event is the product sheet. And again, you're going to use that really to get their contact information. Besides that, obviously, hand them your business card if you have one. If you don't have a business card, please don't worry about it. It's not a big deal. Okay, next one is when do you get someone involved if you think you have found a deal? This is a great question. So I just want to give everyone a heads up. When you go out to these networking events, everyone is going to have a deal. This is the weird thing about our business and the weird thing about being in a sales business. I know we're in sales, but I always tell people we're really in the qualifying business. We're not in the sales business. The weird thing about being in the money business is that everybody needs money. That's kind of like ironic, silly. Everyone needs money. We all know that. So you're not going to ever have a shortage of people coming to you that need a loan. That's again, kind of the ironic thing about being in this business. We're in sales, but everyone already needs money. So people are automatically going to flock to you if you just simply explain to them what you do. We're in the qualifying business because a lot of people will come to you and they want to do something, they want to purchase a property, but they don't have any down money. That's not a deal, okay? There's things that people want to do, and I get that. And I'm a dreamer, so I'm not here to kill anybody's dreams. But I can tell you, if someone doesn't have decent credit, 650 or higher, if they don't have any money to dedicate the project, if they don't have any prior experience in doing this, whatever they're trying to do, there is very little chance that deal is a real deal and a lender is going to want to do it. Now, that being said, if someone wants to purchase an investment property, it's already stabilized, rehab, rent it out, and it's their first investment property, that's okay. Your experience really comes into play on a ground-up construction deal or a rehab deal where construction is going on. sometimes on bridge deals, depending on the property type. But if someone's trying to buy a unique property type, like I got a loan submission in the other day where someone's trying to buy a marina. They don't own any marinas. They've never owned any other marinas. They've never, and there's a hotel attached to it. They've never operated a hotel. I'm not saying there's not a deal there because they do have some money to dedicate to it, but, you know, we have to show that you have some kind of experience doing these things because every business owner knows, and I know there's a lot of us on this phone, whenever you get involved in a new adventure, there's a learning curve, and you're going to lose money through that curve as you are figuring things out. And the lender is lending you money on behalf of this investment, and they want to get their monthly payment every single month. So if you don't have experience and they know you have to go through the learning curve, that's not enticing to them. Would that be enticing to you if you were lending out your money to someone who has to figure out how to manage his property type and how to manage the marina and how to make money off it? That's not enticing to me. You know, and I've never managed a marina. So I want to deal with someone that already has experience doing that. Now, if they have a ton of other real estate experience in other areas, there may be some compensating factors, but you always have to put yourself in the shoes of the lender, you know, and just think for a second. If this was my money and I was lending money towards this, does this sound like something I would lend on? And if in your head you say no, if you want to get an intake form, great. Do that, and we will, of course, let you know if it's something we can place or not. But just keep in your head that if it doesn't sound enticing, someone wants to buy a restaurant and rehab it and add a third floor, and they've never rehabbed a property before, and they don't have any money to dedicate to the project, they want you to finance it 100%, just keep in your head that that might not be a deal. It doesn't sound like this person has a lot of experience. They don't have a lot of money. We didn't even get to the FICO question, but let's leave that alone. So just think about these things. But I also want to say before we move on to the last bullet point, this business is a learning experience, and it's a learning experience for everyone every single day. There's deals that we get in sometimes that I think, you know, I don't think we're going to be able to place that, but let me send it to at least 5 lenders and just check. Let me get their feedback because their feedback is – the ultimate feedback. It doesn't really matter what I think. And 1 out of 4 says, hey, yeah, we can do that. And I learn every single day too. So if you fill out an intake form and it's not a loan, don't be upset. Don't be upset. It's not a big deal. Okay. It was a learning experience. You learned something. At least you got familiar with the intake form. If you're very busy and you can't do intake forms with your clients, you can, you know, refer them to fill it out on the website. You can refer them to fill out the paper versions we fill out every single, we send out every single Monday if you prefer that. I've always done intake forms with my clients on the phone. It's just more personalized. I like it. I like getting to know people. They're more loyal to you that way. But if you don't have the time because you're busy, we get it. Refer them to your website or have them use the paper version. If they're going to use the paper version, though, please have them type on the form. Do not have them handwrite on the form because we can't copy and paste something that someone handwrite into our database. We can upload the document, but we really want to be able, when anyone on the loans intake team goes into that contact, we want to see the intake form copied and pasted in there. It's way better communication for everyone involved in the deal. So last bullet point, which is number 9, just some tidbits of advice when you're going to a networking event. Number 1, have fun. Be yourself. Be professional, but don't be too salesy. I know I already said that a couple of times. Remember, you are just there to introduce yourself to people. You are not there to hardcore sell people. You're literally just going and having fun and meeting people, passing out some business cards. Sometimes they even have drinks there. So grab yourself a couple of drinks, you know, say hi to people, and just let them know what you do. That is all I did to get myself into this business. I did not impress anyone on everything I knew about lending. I didn't talk about rates and terms at a networking event. Nothing. No, I never went into detail. I just let people know this is what I do. Here's my product sheet. It was a lot simpler back then than our product sheet is now. I think we only had like 2 programs, but now we've got like, I think 34 on there. That's all I did. I just let people know, these are the type of loans I did. If you need help, if your bank is telling you no, I can help you. And that is a pitch. You know, let people know. If your bank's telling you no, we can help you. Okay. Let people know, next point to this bullet point, just let people know that, you know, we are a mortgage company. We're not a direct lender. Don't ever present yourself as a direct lender. We're not a direct lender. We're a mortgage broker. We're a mortgage company. You need to be proud of that, because there's a lot of people in this business that try to pretend that they are the direct lender when they really just are a broker. And I have this saying that if you're afraid to say broker, you bring no value to the transaction. You don't. If you have to pose as you're a direct lender and that's how you get clients, it's really sad. But there's a lot of people in this business that do that. Don't do that, please. Just be honest with people. And I'm telling you, the more honest you are with people, the more they'll appreciate that, the more they'll send you business. And there's nothing wrong with being a broker. If you're a really good broker, people know that. People know that. They appreciate that. And they know, hey, you're going to shop. You're going to get me the best rates and terms you can get me for my unique situation. You know, again, keep throwing in those keywords. You know, if your bank says no, we can help you. And that is the truth. Again, as long as they have some down money towards the transaction and their FICO is not horrible, we can help them. Okay. If someone says, why should we work with you and not a direct lender? Okay. So you will get people at an event that may say that, hey, you know, I have a relationship with my lender. You know, that's great. Again, if they already have a perfect lending relationship, they're really not a client for you. But what I can tell you is most lenders really stick to certain types of loans. Like all of our lenders that do rehab loans, they do rehab loans. They don't all do ground up construction loans, or they don't all do permanent financing loans. So if they have a relationship with that lender, that's great, but I doubt that lender does every type of transaction. So say they have a great rehab lender. Hey, if you ever want to refinance and hold on to that property and turn it into a rental property, we could do your takeout loan. You know, so find other ways to just let people know you're there for them. We, you know, you already have a good relationship there, but we can help you with this. Or if for some reason it's not working out, we could certainly take it to another lender and quarterback it. Another reason why someone would want to work with you is because, again, we are not just a brokerage company where we just shove you at a lender and say, good luck, hopefully you two work it out. We will quarterback the whole entire thing, and we will deal with the lender for them. We'll deal with the title company. We'll deal with the insurance company. We'll deal with the realtors. We'll deal with the attorneys. If there's survey people involved, whatever third party has to be involved, we will deal with for them. The only person we really can't deal with for them is the appraiser. The appraiser will always reach directly out to the borrower, and lenders really do not want brokers to be coordinating with appraisers. So that's the only person we can't really quarterback for them, but that's really simple. They're just calling them to set up the appointment for the appraisal. That's it. It's better that they coordinate direct anyways, because, you know, they know each other's schedules obviously better than we do. Another tidbit, this kind of seems silly, but I just want to mention it. If someone asks you who are the lenders you work with, it's just a tricky way to try to maybe get around you and go direct to the lender. Don't ever give out the names of any of our lenders. We have literally probably almost 100 lender calls in our portal. So obviously everyone on this phone call and part of our team knows the names of our lenders because that's how they're labeled. We do a lender call basically every week. Don't give out the names of our lenders. If someone asks you, like, oh, well, who's this lender? Just let them know. We work with over 100 lenders, and just keep repeating that. We don't give out the names of our lenders because this is the relationship we have built with them, and this is our value add to the borrower. Even if the borrower knows the direct even if you gave the borrower the direct lender's name, I know they probably would go on Google and see how to contact them very quickly, but it's really naive. The advantage in working with us is we already know how to close with all these lenders. So, yes, you are paying a broker fee, but we're going to walk you through the process, whereas the lender is not going to do that in any way, shape, or form. They just don't simply have time to do that. So people think sometimes by finding out who the lender is, like, you know, they've gotten something, they've gotten over on someone. It's not. You haven't gotten over on anyone. You know who a lender is, but do you know how to close with them? You know, obviously you don't, because you didn't know who they were. So, you know, anyways, if anyone ever asks you, like, who's this lender on the product sheet, who's this lender, just let them know that we work with over 100 lenders, and sometimes these programs change. We always, you know, do issue a quote within a 24 to 48 hour turnaround time once they give us the intake form that we need so we can get a quote from a direct lender. And then at that point, if they're willing to move forward on the quote and they sign a fee agreement, we will let them, of course, know who the lender is. When we send them the lender's application, the lender's name is on the application, so it's not a secret. But they have to sign a fee agreement first saying they want to work with us. So that's just a couple of tidbits. That's really how to work a networking event. Just go, have fun, introduce yourself, meet people. And what happened to me here in the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania area is, you know, I was going to events obviously here, and then I started doing deals with some borrowers in my area. And then what happened is, you know, Joe from Philadelphia here had a cousin in Florida and referred me to do a deal in Florida. And it started kind of branching out as people started referring me to other people. You do have to consistently go to these events, though. Please don't think you're just going to go to one networking event and, you know, you're going to get 100 deals. It doesn't work like that. People do want to consistently see that you're showing up to these events, that you're really in the business. So it took me some time, just so everyone knows, to go to these events. I kept showing up. People kept seeing me. They already knew I was the finance girl. And then after a while, people honestly just kind of started walking up to me with intake forms already filled out and giving me their horror stories. Oh, my bank did this to me and blah, 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 blah. You'll hear a bunch of bank horror stories. That is unfortunate, but you will hear that. Or this lender did this to me and now I need to close right away. And that's fine. They just need to fill out the intake form and we'll do everything in our power to help them. So at this point, I'm going to unmute everyone and see if anyone has any questions. All right, everyone is unmuted. Does anyone have any questions about the training call we did today? Okay, I know it's pretty straightforward, but if you do have any questions, just email it into Loans, and thank you for everyone for being on the call. Have a great day, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Megan.